Hey, everybody, it's Tim over from The Bulwark. I just got off with my friend Alicia Menendez, who was sitting in for Nicole on the holiday. We talked about a bunch of stuff, including I gave kind of a post-game reaction to my conversation with Chris Ostrushko, the Minnesota angry man who's out there saying, this is fucking nuts. I can cuss now that I'm back on YouTube. And why what he's doing is important, what we've learned from him. We also discussed Mike Johnson is in the United Kingdom today. And I think he might get some tomatoes thrown at him. We'll see how that goes. We talk about that a little bit. But at the beginning, Alicia, God love her, was somewhat encouraged by the fact that there have been like seven-ish Republicans in Congress who have spoken out about the Greenland nonsense. And I hear that. I don't mean to be dismissive of that. I just get this rage in my head when I hear them rationalize it. I mean, say what you want about Rand Paul. Rand Paul is just going to be Rand Paul, right? He's a libertarian, and he's just like, this is crazy when you ask him about the Greenland stuff, when you ask him about the Venezuela stuff. Like, we shouldn't be doing this. This shouldn't be our responsibility. This is wrong. We should act. Rand Paul is just... explains what's happened clearly, explains his position on it. He's got some crazy positions, but like, you know, at least that's refreshing to me. What I can't take is the kind of establishment norms, moderate type, whatever Republicans who like rationalize all this, make excuses for it and say it's wrong, but there's this and there's that. And if push against my colleagues, push against stuff. So anyway, so I get kind of hot having to listen to all these clips. And I'm not going to make you listen to all the clips, but I'm going to make you listen to the one that sent my blood pressure spiking the most. And that was Lisa Murkowski out of Alaska. Let's watch that.
So you're not seeing a lot of Republicans here today. And I'm not going to give you the details of other members' schedules. But Senator Coons, quite honestly, you put this trip together pretty quickly.
Very quickly.
And I don't think that the absence of Republicans is because they don't care about this issue or they have already decided what side of the fence that they may be. So I would not take that as an indicator of support or lack of support.
When they played that clip, Alicia sent it to Claire McCaskill. And I have smoke coming out of my ears over here. When it finally gets around to me, well, just stick around for that. Appreciate y'all. Subscribe to the feed. Got a bunch of good stuff coming today. We'll be back soon. Peace.
Tim Miller, the number of conversations that all of us around the table had that come back to this fundamental question of what Republicans on Capitol Hill are or aren't going to do. But the amount of sound that I was able to play for you at the top of this hour of congressional Republicans actually either mocking him, saying legitimately he has a political problem, legitimately he's not understanding the law, that is closer to critical mass than I have heard on anything other than Epstein. Do you think I'm wrong?
Kind of. I love you, Alicia, but I wasn't really impressed with that list of people at the beginning. It's like you got Don Bacon, who's retiring and quit Congress because he realizes he's still out of step with his party. You have Tom Tillis, who's retiring and quit Congress because he realizes he's out of step with his party. You have Lisa Murkowski, who had to get elected as an independent, and they tried to beat her with a kook from the right, but she was one of the rare ones that was able to defeat that attempt to beat her from the right. But she's not really in the mainstream of MAGA or the Republican Party. And I don't understand why I and the people watching the show understand Lisa Murkowski's colleagues better than she does. I just going back to that video you played, this idea that other Republicans didn't go because Chris Coons scheduled the trip too recently. Like, what else are they doing? Like, Josh Hawley had to wash his hair? Like, that's why he wasn't there, do you think? Like, John Cornyn had a barbecue he had to go to? Like, what else are they doing? Like, we're threatening our biggest allies. They could do something right now. Like, this whole thing, if he ever invaded Greenland, they'd step up. That's what she's saying. I don't know, maybe. Maybe. They didn't really step up on January 6th when people attacked our Capitol. Maybe they would. But, like, right now, Donald Trump is starting a tariff, a 10% tariff on our allies in, 13 days, in 2 weeks. The Senate, John Thune is allegedly against trade wars. So he's been his whole career. He's the Senate leader. They could bring something up right now that says, no, we're not going to, we can't, you know, you don't have emergency powers to tariff NATO allies, or, you know, you don't have emergency powers to tariff Europe. Make him veto you. You know, they could take back the power of the purse from the president right now. It should be in Congress's hands anyway. Senator McCaskill knows. He shouldn't be able to unilaterally make up a fake emergency and tariff the Netherlands. And so if they're opposed to what he's doing in Greenland, in addition to the War Powers Resolution that Senator McCaskill brought up, they could also do this and block him from doing that. But they're not going to do that because they don't actually care. Maybe they say to Lisa Murkowski in private, they're like, hey, Lisa, this is crazy. But I don't care what they're saying in private. Like, what matters is what they're doing in public. And they have an obligation and responsibility to the country. So, it's better than nothing that there are six of them or whatever. But to me, I think Ted Cruz is much more representative of like where the party is right now, which is they'll go along with whatever Trump wants.
President Trump is trying to return us to peace through strength, which is an important principle in the U.S. Ronald Reagan used to talk a lot about that. And at times when America is strongest, it is good for freedom-loving people around the world.
Tim, it's like a mixed message salad. I'm not sure what in there is supposed to make our allies feel better. Do you?
Yeah, well, one of the results, not rhetoric, I hate to go back to it, is the tariff that we're putting, 10% mm-hmm. on the United Kingdom, for no reason, unclear, because Donald Trump said he didn't get a peace prize. We're going to do a 10% sales tax on Americans and screw with the British export economy. I mean, people take this seriously. You know, people do get upset when you play games with their economy and you engage in trade wars that hurts, you know, their way of life. Over nothing. People get rightly upset. And you saw, I think Nicole played this last week, was the booing at the basketball game of America that happened in London. And I think that Speaker Johnson should expect to get the same treatment this week. And I don't know, maybe wear an apron to that speech.
Tim, you spoke with someone who gained a lot of attention for his comments regarding ICE's behavior. Let's watch and then talk about it.
I just kept observing what was going on, and I saw, as I was down there, I saw American citizens coming out, you know, one every hour or so. And for most people that haven't seen the Whipple building, the drive is very long. People are usually walking out without jackets because their jackets have been destroyed or taken. And it's very cold in Minnesota right now. And they're not allowed phone calls. So they walk out to the crowd and ask for a cell phone or something to use to call somebody. To pick them up. And I was trying to get their stories about what was going on inside the building, why they were taken, if they're charged with anything. And most of the people were charged with absolutely nothing.
Tim, I wonder why you think Chris's comments hit such a nerve, and just what sort of your takeaway from your time with him?
Yeah. For people who don't recognize it without the cussing, as Minnesota is the guy who was interviewed on the street a couple nights ago and basically said that he's not a protester. He's not someone who's been to these things before. But this is freaking nuts to do it in a PG version. What is happening in Minnesota? And his comments really resonated with me as I've had a chance to talk to him. And look, I basically what he was representing for me is somebody that just was looking around at what's happening in his community and saying, this is just not normal. This isn't acceptable. We need to speak out. And B, wanted to get other people to do so as well. And so I was impressed by him. He said he was seeing more and more people who, like him, hadn't been coming to protests and were coming out in the days after like his video went viral. And I think that the thing that he's really focusing on, not that we don't care, you know, it's wrong to menace or treat immigrants wrong. It's wrong to treat people who are illegally wrong. Like, we have a process here. Like, we have the nation. We should treat people, you know, with dignity and within the rule of law. But I think his point that is important for folks to know who might not be as engaged in this as everybody who's watching the news day to day is that in Minnesota, these ICE agents, CBP agents, are going after U.S. citizens, and they are roughing them up, and they're detaining them, and they're not charging them, and they're bringing them to that Whipple building and, you know, harassing them and then letting them go. Like, that is, we should not allow that in a free country. And I'm happy that somebody like Chris is out there kind of speaking up for people who may have not, you know, been engaged in activism before, but are just outraged by what's happening.